All right, well, teaching on this topic of manifesting as sons of God, and specifically we are over here in this area called Vengeance and Recompense, and it's part 14 of the volume 2. I'll start reading. I won't read all of this, but just read a bit of it. It starts here in Romans 8 and verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for this manifestation of the sons of God." Verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when?" Until now. Praise God. All right, now we're talking again on the manifesting as sons of God, and the closer we get to the second coming of our Lord, we said a couple of things about it. One is that the systems in the earth must return. It must come in line with heaven's government. And that we said that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is a government. And that Jesus say, pray this way, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? Okay, as it is where? In heaven. So for it to be done in earth, it's got to be first done in us. Because we are the vehicles for taking the kingdom, executing kingdom government in this earth. Jesus, as you know, chose 12 disciples, the number of government, and he's sending them forth. And through that, it multiplied to another 70, and so forth and so on. Now, they were going out, and Jesus sent them out. He called them. He was forming something called the church. And what we said about the church is the most powerful institution in the earth, and that ever. And that we are part of the church, and the church is part of the government of God, part of the kingdom of God. The earth is part of the kingdom of God. Angels are part of the kingdom of God. So now I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, please. Matthew chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11, if you don't have, just look on the board. Verse 9, starting there. "But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." He that is least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, this again is God, Jesus, prophetically teaching on the church and how we're talking about John the Baptist and reflecting on him, that he was used as a transitional figure, if you will, in terms of transitioning from some of the traditional ways that the Jewish community was operating into, leading them into the ways that they were going to be operating that Jesus was going to introduce. Now, what he was doing was baptizing people, and as he was baptizing them, they were confessing their sins. And so he was doing that water baptism as a way of purifying them. Now, that was different than there was before, because before, what happened is they had the Yom Kippur, Great Day of Atonement, where the priest would, high priest would actually have one goat, the sacrifice, and another goat, of course, to confess the sins of the Israel, and then send the goat up into the wilderness, never to be seen again, meaning that being probably devoured by wild animals. But it was a way of sending away sin. But at that time, because of the old covenant, the sins could not really be removed. They were only covered, meaning atoned. But John the Baptist was introducing something brand new, and he was a prophet, he was a seer, and he saw Jesus coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So he, in fact, was going to take away the sin of the world. And he did that through his death, burial, and resurrection. And now what he did is sent back the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church, which the church now is out, whatever Jesus redeemed, the church is out to reclaim. And what I told you last time is sin being in disobedience and so forth, but iniquity having to do with the footprint that was caused by the disobedience. That if you put your foot in mud, of course, it would cause a mud print. And so what you pull your foot out, well, the foot is gone, the sin is gone, but the print is still there. So now through the church, God is coming in to annihilate or to eradicate every work of the devil, every sign that the devil had been into somebody's life. He's going to take it and remove it. Say amen to that. And so now he is saying here, down here at verse 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." So what is happening now is that he's going to be able to send the church out, and the church is going out to take back things that had been stolen and going out to reclaim what was already, Jesus already legally died for and placed in the kingdom of God. So the church is going out to do this. Now, the church, now we said, needs their identity. And the enemy has caused identity theft, where much of the church has not known who they are. And one of the reasons why is because the gospel, for the most part, has been one-dimensional, meaning that you could be born again, and born again, of course, once you're born again, now, technically, you are in the family of God, and that heaven now is your destiny, meaning that you're going to be able to live in this place with God forever. But there is more to the gospel than the vertical. There is a horizontal. And there is a horizontal flow where when we inherit the kingdom of God, that we are now going to transform the culture in this earth into kingdom culture. And that Jesus said something to those religious people. He said now over in Matthew 25, "When I was hungry, you gave me no meat." He said, "When I was thirsty, you gave me no drink." He said, "When I was a stranger, you didn't take me in. And naked, you didn't clothe me. Sick, you didn't visit me. In prison, you didn't come see about me." Now, I'm only saying that is part of it. We have a story called the Good Samaritan. I think it's found in Luke chapter 10. And he was talking to some people, and this lawyer came up and asked him. He said, "Now, who is my neighbor?" And the lawyer's trying to do that. You know, the lawyers look for a loophole sometimes. "And who is my neighbor?" And he began to tell the story, what we call the Good Samaritan, where a man who was beat up and stripped of his clothing and left on the roadside for dead. But along comes a priest, and the priest saw him and passed by on the other side. Along comes a Levite. He saw him, and he passed by on the other side. And along comes a Samaritan. And the Samaritan saw him and went where he was and poured in oil and wine. Now, all this is Revelation. I won't go into this. And then he put him on his own donkey and took him to an inn and paid for it and said to the innkeeper, said, "Take care of him. And whatever else expenses he run up, I will pay for it when I return." So in this, we're saying that a lot of the church has been Sunday morning. Uh-huh. And that people will come in behind four walls on Sunday morning and have this religious experience. But it's more than that. It's that Sunday morning is where you come, fellowship, refuel, get teachings, get strengthened, let the grace of God pour out on you, and you go out and Monday morning start your work. In other words, you become a witness for God, and every place that He sends you and the soles of your feet tread upon shall be transformed, shall become a kingdom culture. So this is what you and I have been called to do, and we've been called like Esther for such a time as this. You'll see what I'm talking about in just a minute. So in knowing who you are, the Bible says that in Ephesians 2:6, you are seated together with Him in heavenly places. Over in Acts chapter 17, 28 and 29, it says that you are His offspring. Just like my children are my offspring, you are God's offspring. The very thing that is in God is in you. In Philippians chapter 3:20, it says that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And over in Luke chapter 15 and 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "Now, beloved, are you the sons of God?" Over in Revelation 19 and 16, it says that you and I are kings and lords. He is the King of kings. He is also the Lord of lords. Over in Acts chapter, over in Romans chapter 8, it says that you and I are joint heirs with Him. As a matter of fact, over in 1 John chapter 4, 17, it says, "As He is, so are we in this world." So Jesus said, "The things that I did, shall you do also." So He was teaching them the principles and the laws and the concepts of the new kingdom that is going to come here in this earth. All right, so as we see this, now it takes a paradigm shift, because now we have to break out of the four walls that maybe we have been behind for years, and we have to understand that our ministry is in the marketplace, that we have to reclaim what Jesus legally redeemed, and that God is sending us out there to make a difference. So we're prophetically programmed to lead the world. So now, as we go out there, one of the things that we said is that justice is going to become a key word in these last days. That justice is a vital part of kingdom manifestation. Now, as we looked at that, what we did is we first had to come in and for the people who didn't know anything about it or know about it, we had to come in and define this. So what happened was we went over to Luke's gospel in chapter 4, and we start at verse 18 where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Then it says that Jesus closed the book and sat down, and the eyes of all them in the synagogue were fastened on Him. Now, as that happened, He didn't read anymore. So what we did is we went over to Isaiah 61 because we wanted to see what He didn't read. So we went over there, and let's go over there one more time, please. Isaiah 61. And over in Isaiah 61, what we saw here, glory to God, hallelujah, are you with me? All right, over in Isaiah 61, what we saw here is that verse 2, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord," then He closed the book. But now we're opening the book, because what is happening now is the latter days and the latter rain is coming. And it now is, we're going to take up, the Holy Spirit is here, the ministry to take, Lord have mercy. The ministry of Christ has now been duly and completely handed over to the person of the Holy Ghost. And that now what is happening is we're coming into this time where the day of the vengeance of our God is coming in to comfort all that mourn. Anything now that is making you uncomfortable, the Holy Spirit has an anointing to remove it. As a matter of fact, we said the number one job of the Holy Spirit is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him. So whatever is afflicting you or humiliating you, whatever is now against your peace or your progress or blocking your way to your destiny or against your business, your career, your children, against your health, your wealth, I'm saying God is going to command vengeance upon them, because you are going to fulfill your destiny in the last days. Why? Because Jesus is coming back, and nothing shall hinder his coming back in these last days. Glory to God. Are you with me here? So I'm just saying now, he said in verse 3, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. No more mourning now, no more sadness, no more, none of that. If you get that, you haven't received that anointing yet. You need to get that anointing and let it be run its course in your life. And the garment of praise for the what? Spirit of heaviness, and that they might be called trees of who? Righteousness. Keep going. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall what? Build the old ways. They shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair waste cities and the desolations, come on, of many generations. Now I want to stop right there, because we want to go on down, but I want to stop there. Do you realize that a lot of things were supposed to have happened by now? But as Paul said, I think in 1 Thessalonians, I would have been there earlier, but Satan hindered me. Now, I'm saying there should have been certain marriages consummated. There should have been certain buildings built. There should have been, come on now, there should have been some things happening by now. But there's been resistance to those things. And the resistance to those things have been so, have been so pervasive until people haven't known that they had been resisted. They thought it just happened, just hasn't happened yet. Oh, no, my friends. What we need to do is get some discernment. Now, what am I telling you? I'm telling you that thy kingdom come on, thy will be done. I spoke to you a while ago about the economy of heaven. Now, economy has to do with more than just money. Economy of heaven. Now, economy of heaven includes inventions.
Amen.
There are songs that have never been received by the saints. Come on, inventions. I'm saying this man, Sean Bolts, went by and God took him to heaven, and he actually saw the different parts where even there are whole city blocks that are in heaven, and the buildings have already been designed. See, I'm saying that some things have been built, but they weren't built based on the pattern of heaven. See, and you and I are going to build. See, we are going to have an anointing. Lord have mercy. Are y'all with me? See, during the time of Moses, oh, Jesus. Can y'all stand this? All right, let's go somewhere. Where do I have you now? I got you. Put something right there. And let's go over to Exodus 31, please. Exodus 31. Now, this is a grown folks' message. Exodus 31. Over in Exodus 31, This is when the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and now they're in the wilderness. Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, see, I have called by name who? Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribes of Judah. And I have filled him with what? The Spirit of God in what? Wisdom and in what? Understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of what? Workmanship to do what? To devise cunning works. Now let's stop right there. What? Why did he place this anointing on Bezaleel? Because Bezaleel was going to build that tabernacle in the wilderness. But you can't build for God with your hands. You got to build for God with his hands. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying that if you're going to build for him, that's what Zechariah talked about. Not by might, come on, not by power, keep going, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4. He said, my hands have laid the foundation of this structure, and my hands are going to finish it. I'm saying that God has already a pattern for earth, and the pattern for earth is in heaven. He's already decided what you're going to be in life. He's already, come on now, he's already, God has a pattern in heaven, and if you can just get a hold of that pattern and download it into your system, I'm telling you, he's raising up architects that are going to be able to sketch out buildings that are actually duplicated in heaven. The way we got this ceiling in this building is the fact that we were in the other part of the mall, and we were there, and we were going to build down here, but the architects had a problem. They couldn't build this ceiling because it would be too low, because they had a low-hanging HVAC and heating system and air conditioning and all of that. And they didn't know what to do. Well, down there, we had a service one Sunday morning, and a prophet got up. And he said that the spirit of Bezaleel shall come on this ministry. That's what he said. And the next thing you know, they came back to us saying, we think we got a solution to it. And what they did is they took this, what do you call this stuff here? Drywall, and took it and wet it and bent it and then put it up. And once they put it up, they got the architect award of the year down at Navy Pier for architects building worship centers. They got the award. I'm saying God blessed by hanging around with us, by us praying, and the spirit of Bezaleel come on them, tell them how it is in heaven, and they built it here in this earth. Now, he can do the same thing with your house, with your business, with your orphanage, with everything that you've got. They shall build the old waste places. You got it? All of this is in heaven. You just don't run out and do something. You get God's pattern for it. Say amen to that. Folks, Noah had never built a ship like that in his life. Where do you think he got the revelation from? He got it from God. God can download to you one night how this thing is going to look, how it's going to run, how to make some money out of it. This business about jumping up in your own strength doing something, you out of that class. You on a higher level now. You going up there where you getting sweatless victories. You going up there where you don't have to do nothing but listen to God. He'll tell you to turn right here and turn left right there. Do this over here. Say that over there. So forth. Do you have that? You got it now? So, all right. Now, where am I? Praise God. That's Bezaleel. Praise God. Let's go back over to Isaiah, please. Isaiah 61. Lord, that took a lot of energy there. All right. Look what he said in verse 6. No, come on down to verse 8. Let's just stop there. For I, the Lord, love what? Judgment. Love what? Judgment. What did I tell you another word for that is? justice, and I hate what? Robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known among the who? Gentiles. And their offspring among the who? People. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord has done what with? Has blessed. All right? Now. All right. So, now I got so many places I'm trying to take you here. Can you stand it? Can you stand to be blessed? All right. So now, in terms of us preparing for Jesus' second coming, the justice system throughout the world is one of the main targets of demonic abuse throughout the world. And if the justice system is destroyed, that people are crushed and they lose hope. And the human heart is lost, faith is lost in the human heart, and the enemy starts to perpetuate all kinds of evil. Now, as we get closer to our Lord's return, everything that's out of line with the kingdom of God is going to be brought in subjection. And I said to you that as we go forward, vengeance is going to be going before us, meaning that God is going to have vengeance working on our behalf. Let me just catch up with where I want to go here. Praise God. Vengeance, we said, has nothing to do with hate or bitterness or resentment or anything like that. Nothing to do with some kind of emotional retaliation, but it is something that proceeds from the love of justice. And it is a necessity for punishing offenders. Vengeance is. All right. Now, Moses needed vengeance to take his place. For him to stand in the office that he was in, he needed vengeance. And it took vengeance for him to get Israel out of bondage from Egypt. And the reason why is because Pharaoh would not let them go. So it took vengeance. Now we found out in Hebrews, can you put it up there on the board? Just put it, don't flip there. Just put it up on the board. Hebrews chapter 10, please. And verse 30. He said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. So God is going to be the one to execute vengeance. Now he has to use us because he needs our permission to work.
That's right.
To do anything. That's why you pray. You pray to give God permission to do what God already wanted to do into you. You didn't change God's mind. God never changes.
That's right.
So he needs us for that. But notice what he had to do with Moses. Because we said understanding vengeance can significantly change your attitude and your behavior. Now you're going to need those changes because God's going to need your conscious mind. Or should I say righteous mind. Now, Moses now is going down to Pharaoh. But before he went to him, he ran from him. And the reason why he ran from him, because something rose up inside of Moses at the age of 40 years old, and he knew that he was a Hebrew, his identity was becoming pure, and now he saw how the Egyptians were mistreating the Israelites, and he saw him whipping this Israelite and saw nobody was around, so he went and killed the Egyptian. Now, what happened? Pharaoh heard about it. Well, how do you think Pharaoh heard about it? See, no Egyptian was there, but there was a house Hebrew. And as a result of that, y'all know what I'm talking about. So, as a result of that, that's true. Because the Egyptian didn't know about it. Now, what happened? I'm telling you, got always somebody going to tell on you. And what happened now is now Pharaoh puts out death, whatever, on him and said to go and kill him. So he runs. Why? Because the power of Pharaoh. But once he gets on that backside of that mountain, stays for about 40 years. Now, getting Egypt out and getting, let me just show you this. Come on back over here to Acts chapter 7, please. I'm not going to rush. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Flow. Okay. All right. Praise God. Amen. Who said that? Come on up here. I'm going to break you off $100 bill here. Yeah. Now, did somebody say that right over here? I didn't think so. Okay, now, look at this. Because you got to, see, you got to study to show yourself approved. It's all in here. It's been in here for years. Look what it says here in verse 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all wisdom of the who? Egyptians. And was mighty in words and deed. This is Moses now. Mighty in what? Words and deeds. Now, I looked it up in the Living Bible. Here's what it says. And taught him all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he became a mighty prince and orator. Now, put something right there and turn back with me to, put something right there now and turn back with me to Exodus and Exodus chapter 4, please. Exodus chapter 4. I want to show you what fear will do to you. Exodus chapter 4. Come on back. Come on. Hurry up. Praise God. We got to go. Exodus chapter 4. Look what it says in verse 10. God is telling Moses to go down now and tell his people, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not what? Eloquent, neither henceforth, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am what? Slow of speech and what? Slow of tongue. Now, wait a minute now. It just said that he was a mighty orator. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that this is fear talking through Moses now. Come on back over here. Put something right there. Come on back over to Acts chapter 7 again. And look what it says next. Verse 23. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit the brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffered wrong, he defended him and avenged him, there's the word, that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them. But they understood not. They went and told on him. Come on, house Hebrew, they went and told on him. Now, I won't go any further than that on that. Just come on back to Acts chapter 4. I mean, Exodus chapter 4. Are you with me now? So what did I just tell you? See, now here's Moses saying, hey, I can't do this. And he told Moses, well, who made your mouth? See, remember now, one of the first things that happened when Adam fell was selfishness, self-defense. How am I going to look? What's going to happen to me? Every accused person, many times, if they don't know God, is engaged in a self-defense strategy. See, they don't care about what happened to you. It's what's going to happen to me. See, and I'm saying here that Moses was very concerned. He's got to go up against this guy. So God began to talk with Moses and began to get him to understand how God was positioning him there. And how God was the one that's sending him there. How the reason why he was raised up in that house was because God was behind it. And I'm telling you, you've been raised up in this city, in your house, in your company, in for such a time as this. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, it's not going to be your strength that's going to do this. And that's what I got to get you. When God told Moses to go down, look at this, man, I'm telling you. See, I can't rush when I teach this because you got to get, I want you to get it in here. See, if the anointing for vengeance is on you, in other words, God, the Holy Ghost is now on you for you to go a certain place and you go there in fear, the anointing doesn't work. The anointing, faith is the anointing connector, not fear. Fear connects you with the devil. You cannot fear. When God tells you to step up and say something, you cannot fear. If you do, you will leave yourself without a shield. That's the power of fear. What happened when Saul feared? Saul went down there. God told him, said, the prophet Samuel said, go down there and kill all of them and don't save any of that stuff. And Saul then went down there. The people got on Saul, said, no, we need these sheep. We need this. And Saul gave in. And then Samuel came and said, Saul, how we doing? Hey, oh, we doing just fine. He said, well, what is that I hear out back? He said, I hear, however sheep sound. And he heard that. And he said, well, wait a minute. Did you not? He said, well, I feared the people. I feared the people. Guess what Samuel said next? Well, the anointing has just left your life. You stand up and fear people and the anointing will lift. So help me, because he can't do that. It's a righteous. You are a tree of righteousness. You stand up and say, what thus saith the Lord? To that. It's time over for hiding in church. Hey, say amen to that. We're coming into a place now that thank God for the four walls, but you're not coming in here to hide. You're coming in here to get built up. You're coming in here that one day God's going to call your name and tell you to do something. Now what you going to do? Say amen to that. We got too many people hiding from things they should be facing and coming in church claiming they got some faith. Where is your faith? Say amen to that. If God tells you, I want you to go to college, then you go to college. You don't come in here and hide from it. Say amen to this. And whatever he calls you to do, he'll anoint you to do. You have nothing to fear. Say, when you walk through the water, it won't overflow you. When you walk through the fire, it won't burn you. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Say amen to that. And God can drop an anointing on you that he said, Jesus said this, unto you is given to know mysteries, but to them it's not given. You know what a mystery is? A mystery is something beyond human comprehension. In other words, you can go into class and know more than the professor. First day, all he got to do is drop one of them Bezalel spirits on you.
Come on now.
Too much for me. What did God do? God took him and said, hey, I tell you what, Moses, he said, I'm going to take the spirit on you and see them 70 out there. I'm going to drop the same spirit on them. Boy, as fast as Moses touched them, the spirit, boom, boom, boom. I mean, the anointing came on them and they could do exactly what Moses did. Now, boy, that's something else. I mean, they didn't have to go through 4 years. They didn't have to, come on, go through a bunch of examinations. They didn't have to do nothing but receive. Praise God. See, we can't run from it, folks. When you run from it, the fear is still there. And the devil knows it's there, and he's trying to trap you into a place where one day that fear will manifest. See, when it's down in there, you got to, whatever the devil is trying to make you run from, face it right now. I said, that's from God. Face it right now. God's got your back. He's holding you down. He's promoting you. Say amen to this. Boy, I'm preaching better than I'm. All right, let's look at this. Let's see, where am I now? Praise God. Shh. Don't hide anymore. Don't hide anymore. Don't hide. The days of hiding are over. Face your fears. That's it. Tell the devil he is a liar. You've been born for such a time. That's what Esther did. Esther got down there, and Mordecai said, Esther, go in there and tell the king. Now, he's put out a law and made a law to kill all the Jews. Now, understand, he made a law to kill all the Jews. Check it out. The king made a law to kill all the Jews. Now, he was instigated by old wicked Haman, but nevertheless, he did. They got the ring and signed the law. So it is a law. So a law can be a law, but it's not a moral law. It's not a just law. Say amen to that. You could have a law that says no prayer in schools. Boy, y'all better come. We got, you know, see, we hitting on something now. But see, when you step up, go to God, boy, I'm telling you. Go over to Isaiah 33 one more time. And also go over to Psalm chapter 44. Come on, I'm going to make you chew nails before you get out of here, boy.
Come on now.
You know, we're not going to run from anything anymore. Say amen to that. No, you no sense in running. Come on. I just had somebody in the first service after I preached this. They said, Pastor, they just fired me from my job. I said, why? Said they wanted me to do something, Pastor, that was against God. I said, what did you tell them? She said, I'm not doing it. She said, what did they do? They fired me. Well, that's where we came from, Brazil. That's the same thing they did to him. He was taking us to the airport. He said, they wanted me to do something that was against God. He said, I said, I'm not doing it. And the supervisor came to me and said, I'm going to give you one more chance. He said, I'm not doing it. He fired me. And then put out the word so I couldn't get another job. He said, I've been without a job for what, baby, 4.5 years or something like that? Something like that. And we said, you're not going to be without a job much longer. Wait, my wife and I, she started preaching then, praise God. She laid it down and talked about vengeance and talked about recompense and so forth like that. And we got a call about 30 days, within 30 days, because we told him he'll have a job in 30 days. And we got a call. He had been offered 2 jobs, both of them, I think, higher than the one that he even left. And he got all kinds of offers now and so forth. This is why. Look at Isaiah chapter 33. Amen. Have you got it?
Yes, sir.
Put it up on the board. You know the scripture I'm talking about. Praise God. Look what it said. For the Lord is our who?
Judge.
The Lord is our who? Lawgiver. The Lord is our who? King. King. And he will do what?
Save us.
Save us means, translated, give us victory. Who's going to give us victory? The Lord is. He's the judge. If any judge in this earth is not agreeing with God, God is a judge. He said, I will lift up one and I'll take down another. And then it says God is the lawgiver. Meaning there's any laws that don't agree with the law of God, God is a lawgiver. Does this make sense to you? This is powerful stuff here now. Now the Holy Spirit is there to execute vengeance. So he's there. Now you got to let the anointing come through now. Because he's there. He's that anointing. And you got to let that anointing go through. And that anointing is not going to let anything touch you. Folks, if Pharaoh could have killed Moses, he would have. But he couldn't even think it. He wouldn't even think it. And I'm telling you, that's how powerful that anointing is. But that anointing needs righteousness. And the righteous are as bold as a lion. Amen. He'll tell you what to say. He'll tell you what to do. Are you following what I'm saying? Man. Now, love. Somebody say, well, how about love? Because somebody came in the bookstore, talking to the bookstore manager about, well, I just don't see no love in that. It is love in it. Oh, I think I'm going to have to talk about this just a minute here. Folks, to love God means to keep his commandments. That's what the God kind of love is. Now, the God kind of love, let me just do this, and I'm going to get one more thing, and I'm going to finish up. Don't try to compare divine love with human love. They're entirely two different things. Say amen to this. There is a gentle side to the love of God. But there is also a stern side to God's love. I think I better show you one. Can I show you one? Come on over to Matthew chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12. Are y'all with me? Now, I'm making you strong now. Your spirit's getting strong. Your mind may not know it yet, but your spirit is getting strong. Are you with me? This is Jesus now. He's talking. You ready? Verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Now, what is a viper? A snake. Now, Jesus, looking at them, say, you snake. Now, wait a minute. Now, does that love? I mean, that is, come on now. I'm trying to figure out whether this is love or not. Say amen to this. How about if you come on over here to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, please. Mark chapter 11. Lord, have mercy. Mark chapter 11. Come on, I'm talking about love now. Come on. Just because a parent disciplines a child, does that mean they don't love them? No. Probably just the opposite. Say amen to that.
Amen.
It does not say spare the rod and spoil the child. That's not scripture. It says that if you spare the rod, you hate your son. Now, I'm not talking about nobody beat nobody. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm only saying, look at this in verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and seats of them that sold doves. In one place, I guess he had a whip or something in there and beat them out. Now, wait a minute. Is that love? Now, the only thing I'm saying is don't be putting up divine love against human love. Because human love is mushy. You do something wrong to human love, they'll talk about you. These are human love folks. But God's love is different. Say amen to that. God had allowed the earth to be flooded. Why did he allow the earth to be flooded? Because God so loved the world. Because if he didn't, you wouldn't even be here. Because he wouldn't have had a seed to sow. He had to sow and save Noah and his family, the only ones he could find in this earth. Isn't that something? All right, so there are three levels here I want to show you in terms of advancement. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, please. Luke chapter 19. I'm almost done. Don't run out on me, because I got communion. You better get some blood over your house after this. Look at Luke chapter 19. Are y'all with me now? So we're moving forward, and understanding vengeance creates a significant change in our attitude and behavior. Because now we can stand up against somebody. Because we know if you don't treat me right, all I got to say is you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have done that, and that releases God. Come on now. I told you to turn to Psalm chapter 44. Didn't I tell you to turn to Psalm? Well, let me just look at that before I look at Luke chapter 19. Psalm chapter 44. I'm almost done now. I'm almost done. I know you got to go. Psalm chapter 44. Y'all ought to be willing to stay here till the cows come home, man. This stuff I'm putting out with you right now, man, I got so much in my spirit, I'm telling you. Look what he said in verse 3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast what? Had a favor unto them. What is favor? It's divine assistance. So in the Living Bible, it says something like this. Watch this. And they did not conquer by their own strength and skill, but by your mighty power, and because you smiled upon them and favored them. So I'm just saying, God smiled on you. Lord have mercy. Yeah, delighted in them. There's another translation here. I do all kinds of translations because I want to make sure I got it in my spirit, you know? So justice is a key part of the gospel of the kingdom. And so we got to bring that part in. Look what it says in Luke chapter 19, and I'm going out. Look at Luke chapter 19 and verse 12. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Do you hear what I'm saying? We are to advance the kingdom. Say advance.
Advance.
Say advance.
Advance.
All right. Now, you recall over in Matthew chapter 25, there were people who had some talents. One had 5 talents, one had 2 talents, one had 1 talent, didn't he? The one with 5 talents traded and got 10 talents. The one with 2 talents traded and got 4 talents. But the one with 1 talent, what did he do with it? Buried it, see? And he said, I feared. See, fear will make you bury your stuff. And he feared. Now, Jesus came, the nobleman came back, and he thought by him burying it and be able to give him back what he gave him, that was going to cause great, that was going to appease the boss. Well, it didn't. He said, you wicked and slothful servant. He took his one, gave it to the one who had the most. That's called putting money is where money's made. And gave it to the one who had the most. And, watch this, and then kicked him out, fired him. So my point to you is we're supposed to not hold a fort. We're supposed to advance and hold. Come on, advance and hold. You're not supposed to be in the same place this year as you were last year. You're supposed to advance and hold. Come on now. And And so I want to share this with you because there are three levels now. And the first level on the ground floor is the lowest level. This is where people of God are still trying, they're struggling and still failing. How you doing, sir? Well, I'm going through. How you doing, brother? Well, I'm going through. You better get through now because they're beating your head up in there when you're going through. And no, really, you get weary, see? And then they are constantly suffering setbacks. Now, this is where a lot of the church is right now. And I think the reason why we've been victims because we haven't been heard vengeance. And so now, constantly suffering setbacks and so forth, and often need counseling all the time and so forth and so on. So people kind of say, well, brother, you know what that does. That just builds character and so forth. Well, that's fine, but I've been here since I don't know when and look like my character ought to be ready by now. All right? General Patton said this. This is one of the movies I saw called Patton. He said this, and he said this was an actual quote from him. He said, the secret to winning a war is not to die for your country, but to make the other man die for his country. He said that is what I'm talking about. Now, you remember children of Israel back here, they went into battle and, you know, none of them ever got hurt. You follow what I'm saying? Except when they were disobedient. So that's the first level. The first level is where we seem to be struggling back and forth, up one day, down another day, attitude good one day, bad attitude the next day, failing, oh, brother, you know, this and, you know, they talking about so forth. Just a lot of complaining. The second level is a level where we actually come up and we actually are working biblical principles, but all we're doing is trying to live right. We're just trying to make heaven our home. We're just trying to just stay saved until Jesus comes. Boy, if I can just stay saved, man, if I can just keep from doing this, if I can just keep from cussing again, are you following what I'm saying? That's the second level. Now, ain't nobody getting mad, are you? Okay, because that ain't going to help you no way. You just, what you need to do is you need to hear this. All right? So my point to you is the problem with this is no team can win a championship by every game being a draw. You can't win that championship. You say, well, I'm just holding on, brother. Well, wait a minute. Now, you're supposed to be advancing because we can't win with you just holding on. That's not going to cause us to win. Say amen to that. So that's the second level. It's a stalemate level. But the third level is a level where Christians are using these biblical principles and operating in the fullness of the Holy Ghost and being led by the Spirit of God, who has empowered them to do supernatural things, and they're moving forward and fear nothing. These are Christians here that will never surrender. The devil knows they have got a resolve in their heart, and he don't even mess with them. When they come around, things begin to cool down because demons know this person will cast them out. He knows that they are just not there holding on, trying to stay safe, but they are taking land. They are taking buildings. They are building orphanages. They are building churches. They are building businesses. I'm saying God has made it so that you and I don't have to stand still and put up with none of Satan's mess. If you really know who you are and you step in the room, every demon gonna bow. They're gonna put their head down and they're gonna believe. You follow what I'm saying? I'm saying this is where we are. I am building you up now, not that so that you can just hold a fort, not that you can win a few, lose a few, but I'm building you up right now that when you start moving forward, there is nothing in Satan's arsenal that he can use to try to keep you from your wealth, a place, nothing that he can use to stop you from getting your new car cash, nothing he can use to stop you from getting that 12-bedroom home, Lord have mercy, that came out of the Spirit. So I'm here to tell you right now that God is the judge, he's the lawgiver, he's the king. And God says to us, he said that he has called you for such a time as this. He wants you to be like Esther. If you need to fast 3 days, I hear it. The church is coming up on a 3-day fast, that when you fast 3 days, all of a sudden what you thought and the fear that was in you is going to depart, and you will go forward and take this land for the kingdom of God. Give the God a praise. That anointing is on you right now. It's not an anointing to retreat. It's not an anointing to stand still, but it's anointing to walk it out. I'm telling you, every place the sole of your feet shall walk upon, gonna be yours. All you got to do is claim it. Jesus already redeemed it, and the land is yours starting today. Now, this is just not something to get excited about and emotional for a minute. This is going to be a lifestyle. I said a lifestyle. Now, you may not be there today, but if you keep coming, keep letting the Word of God come in your heart. Folks, the Word is designed for rough places. It's designed to come into a heart that's full of weeds and full of fear and so forth, and turn you into a giant killer. Say amen to that. Take your seats, please. Oh no, those Bibles never should have come out of those schools. That was an unjust law. But vengeance hadn't been preached, so we stayed victims. And look what's happening now. The crime rate is all over. They tell me another officer got killed in Chicago. Shouldn't happen, folks. Shouldn't happen. Not on our watch. Not on our watch, you should. Say amen to this. Mayor shouldn't have to struggle by himself. I don't care whether you voted for him or you didn't. The Bible says pray for him. See, we got to do this, the Bible. Because he's the lawgiver. He's our king. He tells us what to do. Oh, yeah. We're going to stop the enemy. I'm just getting you ready now. Isn't this wonderful? That anointing is on you, and nothing can get close to you when that anointing gets on you. But from this day forward, no fear. Say, no fear here. None. None. If you got a fear, face it. And call the devil a liar to his face. This is your day. Your name is in the paper. I'm glad he hooked us up together. Glad he hooked us up. That's why he's bringing people like Bishop Oedipo. Pure warrior. general for the kingdom. Well, I'm just glad to hook up with him. When we talk, we be up there about a mile high, talking about the powerful things of God. Ah, Lord. Yes, sir. Yeah, he hooked us up together. We in the army now. Now, we're going to keep going with this just a little bit more. Because I want to make sure it's really in you. So you come out of this with no fear. No fear. Folks, God cannot work through you except to the degree that you believe. And I'm going to make a believer out of you. You're going to believe God. Believe God. Praise God. All right. If you're here this afternoon, if you're here, and in your life you know you're not right with God, now hear what I'm saying now. I'm saying that we all came the same route. And I'm not right with God. Oh, I've been in church and I've been so-and-so, but I still wasn't born again. And so I had to give my life. And I had to get in the place where, hey, I'm going to do this. And I decided that I was going to do it. And God sent a lady by my place at work, took me to a meeting on the north side. And next thing I know, I got born again. And next thing I know, got filled with the Holy Ghost, got the power of God in me, and I was on my way. Now, if you're here right now, Jesus died for you. And you're here not by coincidence. You can't stumble in this place. But God worked some deals out and got you here. So now he told me to tell you to pray for you that you can have the same thing I have. And the rest of these people, you can be born again today. Now, I'm not asking you to join this church. You can do that if you want to. But I'm asking you today to make a decision for Christ. So whoever it is today, right now, and you know I'm talking to you, I want to pray with you right now. Now, here's what I want you to do. Take courage. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right now. Let's get your sins blotted out. To get everything in your life.